Does either one of y'all want to prove it?
Nancy, you want to say?
I can.
I'm not able to get up to it. Oh, boy.
I need to move the glasses.
I got it. You want to get us all together for next Sunday?
Me?
Yeah.
I'll see.
I don't know whether you're working or not, but I don't think so. You might think about it.
When burdens come so hard to bear that no earthly friend can share, tears drive away the smiles that leave my heart in pain. Then my Lord from heaven above speaks to me in tones of love, wipes the tears away and makes me smile again. I need no mansion here below, for Jesus said that I can go to a home beyond the clouds, not made with hands. Won't you come and go along? We will sing the sweetest song ever played upon the harps in glory land. Oh, the thought to me is sweet that my loved ones I will meet at the ending of the journey here below. Seems I hear their voices blend in a world without an end. I won't worry when the time shall come to go. I need no mansion here below, for Jesus said that I can go to a home beyond the clouds, not made with hands. Won't you come and go along? We will sing the sweetest song ever played upon the harps in glory land. When Jesus comes to claim his own, I will move to my new home. I'll walk and talk with him upon the streets of gold. A mansion there is waiting me. Soon its beauty I will see in that city where we never shall grow old. I need no mansion here below, for Jesus said that I could go to a home beyond the clouds, not made with hands. Won't you come and go along? We will sing the sweetest song ever played upon the harps in glory land.
Amen.
Amen.
Maybe sooner than we think.
Ow!
Tear it up.
Take our Bibles and open them to John 3:16. Oh, we go to a couple other places today too. 3:16 is where we'll start out today. But today is a kind of a, well, Thursday was a kind of special day for Bill and Donna. And And we got to trying to figure out what you're supposed to give to somebody on a 44th. 25th, we know, is silver. 50 is gold. I don't know, that might be kind of hard to come by here. Mary Helen and I got two more years for the gold stuff. But we figured out that on the 44th, you're supposed to give somebody food. And Donna didn't show up today. She showed up, then she left us.
Yep.
So I reckon that's your gift over there in the basket. But that basket up here, Bill might find something in there to eat, like he don't know how to eat, right?
I can keep it here and eat it myself.
You can. You can. And you can tell Donna how to say so. You won't do, I don't care. But now, I done forgot how to do it. How do you sing happy anniversary? It's like happy birthday, but it's happy anniversary. You know how to do it, Mary?
Say what now?
How do you sing happy?
Must be the time.
How do you say happy anniversary? How do you sing it?
Birthday.
Like happy birthday, right?
Yeah.
And then, and all right, get up and lead it.
Happy
anniversary to you and many more.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
And Nancy could say, blessed be the tie that binds.
That's what we used to sing.
Well, you can do that too. That's fine. Listen, Bill, she's talking to you.
Yeah, Bill. And it was a crab and a...
You hear her? You hear Mary Helen?
187.
Listen to Mary Helen.
The squirrel told her crab, she said, you make me crabby sometimes. Said, yeah, you make me nutty.
That's true.
We was going to get that card, but it cost too much. We wouldn't buy it. Figure y'all might get all bent out of shape. So you got a card. It's a little different. She made it up herself.
All right, what song is it? 187.
Well, that would be the Nutty Indy tragedy.
Let's be the tide that binds. Blessed be
the tide that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred mind is like to that above.
When we
asunder part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall be joined in heart and hope. Again. Praise God. Do what there?
We will.
We will. You're right, Nancy. It ain't no hope, so.
Nope.
They say that word hope, and I learned it in Bible college. In the Greek, it means a sure thing, but in normal, colloquial, redneck English, it means it might happen, but it does not mean that in the biblical sense. It means that it will happen. There's no way for it not to happen. A sure thing. Okay. I can just say that the drive over has never really bothered us. It's kind of a blessing sometimes, especially if you can get over here and not too many fools mess with you on the road. But today, that was pretty much okay. Some days, it's not like that, but... We appreciate that, y'all, and we appreciate what's trying to be done here. We're just sad that it's not being done like it could be, but God knows all about it. We've already talked about a whole lot about what's in this message already today, so I believe it'd be the perfect will of God that we continue with what we're doing. The title of the message today is Allegiance. We pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Okay? We do. But Friday morning, a veteran in our meeting made my day. Because I've been feeling this way for years. Now, if you fly an American flag, that's fine. It don't offend me that you do. Personally, I do not. Because a faded glory flag would be more meaningful for me than an American flag. When Walmart years ago started with faded glory clothing, that was a brand name, I was thinking the United States is not what it was meant to be. We're talking 40, 50, 60 years ago. I mean, it really started out years ago not being what it's supposed to be. This veteran, 14 years in the Army, he said, I don't no longer fly the American flag. He said, because this nation does not stand for what that flag says. He said, I salute the flag. I pledge allegiance to it because the meaning and the symbolism in the flag is beautiful, and it is. But you think about one nation under God. My question is, what God are y'all talking about? Allah? Buddha? Some other false god? Your car? Your boat, your house, your wife. What God are you talking about? One nation under God, indivisible. Look at the division all through our nation. And life and liberty. Huh. Interesting. Allegiance. John 3:16, let's do the text. Now I'm going to read this thing. Y'all see if I read it wrong. For God so loved the United States of America that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Did I read it right? Read it again, Bill.
It says world, but he includes United States too.
He's included, but is that what it says?
It says world.
For God,
which means everybody,
so love the world. But we've got this idea, and a lot of preachers preach it, God loved the United States of America above and beyond every other world or every other country in this world. Now, I'll say this. I hope it's taped. I don't care. The United States of America has, and has, best I can tell in English, is past tense, has been the greatest nation there ever was. But I think that's has been. Because I'm seeing nations in this world that are just as profitable as ours is. A lot of them love God more than we do. Underground church, an underground church in China is flourishing. Now you think God's gonna bless us when we're against the church? During COVID, church was not in an essential place, but the liquor store was. Mary Helen and I went to Lowe's Food one Sunday, long about after church, because what we got to do when we wasn't having services, me and Mary Helen and Thomas and Margaret, I walk in the door of Middle Cross Baptist Church, because Tom got the key. He can come in. I don't care how much you lock the door. He got the key. We sit down on the back pew and watch Mike preach to an empty church except for us. He couldn't tell us we couldn't come in there, but nobody else was in there. And right after that, we go to Lowe's Food, and I'm sitting in the car because I really didn't want to go in there. And there's a steady stream in and out of the liquor store. How in the world we come off thinking the liquor store is essential and the church ain't? Don't we live in a warped society? We're talking about the tomato plants. That tomato plant's probably got more rights than me. I know an animal does. I guarantee you if I go downtown and I kill Kobe, and I don't, I love Kobe, my dog. But I'd probably get more time for killing him than I would Mary. Allegiance. Where is our allegiance? The way the church attitude now is us four, no more. But Acts 1:8 says to reach the whole world all at the same time. I'm paraphrasing. I could turn over to it, but I'm not. John chapter 28 talks about go ye therefore into all the world. You heard that little word, all? It didn't say go ye therefore into the United States of America. It said all the world. You know what I believe? That means the European countries, South American countries, the United States, Canada, Alaska. Just go ahead and figure them all out. They're all part of the Great Commission.
Our allegiance.
We're not turning to every scripture that I'm thinking about today, but we could go back into Genesis. What was the beginning of the fall of man? What was it? Who was in the Garden of Eden to start with? Adam and Eve was in there. We all blame Eve. She ate the fruit. She took it. Who deceived her? Satan, the devil did. What did she do with that fruit when it concerned Adam? Said, if you eat this fruit, you become wise. You know where to think God knows. That's a lie to start with. Where was Adam's allegiance? Huh. He wasn't deceived. The devil didn't deceive him. He knew what the deal was. Why did he take that fruit from his wife? Because he loved his wife more than he loved God. And that plunged us in the sin nature that we now have. They would have lived in total bliss in the Garden of Eden throughout eternity if they wouldn't eat that fruit. But God said, do not eat of the tree of good and evil. Do not eat it, of tree of knowledge. Do not eat that. He meant what he said. Because in the day that you eat it, you will surely die. What was the first lie? Satan said, you won't surely die. But they did, plunged mankind into death. Ever since that day, mankind has been dying. What is your allegiance? Adam's allegiance was to his wife.
Ephesians chapter 2.
Ephesians chapter 2, we can read 19 through 22. Ephesians chapter 2, 19 through 22. I think I'm right what I'm saying now. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Where is our citizenship this morning? Some would say, I'm a citizen of the United States of America. I can say I'm a resident of the country of Paraguay. I'm not a citizen, but I'm a resident. But it says, but citizens with the saints. Where is the saints' allegiance? Where is their citizenship? You can answer out if you want to. Where is it? Huh? Heaven. Our citizenship is not here. We should be patriotic and loyal as long as our nation is loyal to God. But when it turns its back on God, where is our allegiance? And it said, built upon a foundation of the apostles and the prophet Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. When we put Jesus Christ first and he's in the cornerstone of our relationship with him, and our nation stands on Jesus Christ and he's put first, then we can claim our allegiance with the nation that puts Jesus first. It said, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto the holy temple of into the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for habitation of God through the Spirit. Where is our allegiance? As a nation, we don't fit in this category. So where is our allegiance? Where is your allegiance? What should we be aligned with? Okay. Psalms 2. I think it's in this King James Bible. I'm pretty sure Psalms is in here. Psalms 2. Psalms 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? There's a whole lot of vanity out here in this world today. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointing. Is that not so? Is not our rulers of this world taking counsel against the Lord's anointed? Let's go back to who the Lord's anointed is. I hear a whole lot of independent Baptist preachers talking about don't touch the Lord's anointed. The last one told me that. I said, leave me alone then. Because guess what? All of us in here profess to be saved and we're going to God's youngin', right? We're the Lord's anointed. Just because somebody's a preacher or a pastor, that don't make him more than you. You are the Lord's anointed. Yeah, I'm supposed to respect his position. Because he's the pastor. He's handling the word of God. As long as he is handling the word of God correctly. But just because he is the man of God, that does not mean that I cannot disagree with him. If he does not have book on what he's talking about, I do not have to do what he told me to do. We had a pastor one time. If it come time for you to trade an automobile, you're supposed to go ask him if it's all right. Honey, that's too far. If I'm going to wear a gray shirt today or a white one, I have to ask him. About have to ask him if you got to go to the bathroom or not. That's about how bad it was. Honey, that's wrong. That's called a dictator. We don't need dictators in the pulpit. We need men of God to preach this book like it is. Saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away the cord from us. You know this world hates us? It hates us. He that sitteth in heaven shall laugh. It ain't funny when God starts laughing. Go ahead, make my day. God's worse than Clint Eastwood. He blowed that church steeple all the way off the top of the building, clean across the street, set the place on fire, and it burned, I know, for at least 6 hours. All the water they pumped in there and all they could have out in that fire. God said it, he let it burn as long as he wants to. Said to me is, you better straighten up, bud. He can cut you off too. He can cut us off anytime he feels like it. But if God starts laughing at us, that sure ain't funny. And the Lord shall have them in derision. Said, I'll start laughing at you and you'll run every direction that you think you're going in. You make all kind of stupid decisions and you'll be all messed up. Because I'm laughing at you. It's funny. I made you and you ain't got enough sense to know it. I made a cow. That's where you get milk. You didn't get it at Walmart. You might have bought it there. But it come from a cow. I'll have you in derision. We got young people that don't even know what a cow is. I was riding with that preacher Monday, and he's out from the country. He's a country boy, and he's up around Virginia Beach somewhere. And they run up on this young lady that him and his wife knew, and she told him, said, you know, I ain't never in my life seen a cow. We talking about a grown woman now in her 20s. I ain't never, ever seen a cow. Any of you in here know what a cow is? Have you seen one? Mary Helen seen one because her daddy had a cow right in the middle of town. He had hogs too, in town. Oh yeah, goats too, in town. But that young lady was serious. She had never in her life seen a cow. He said to her, you need to get in the automobile with me and my wife and we're going to go for a little ride. They left Virginia Beach heading about on, I guess that's west 58, heading that way, this way is west, isn't it? Come up on the farm, he pulled up and stopped. And the cows come up to the fence. And she went out there and she's petting them cows. She said, thank you for doing that. I ain't never seen a cow in my life. She's 20-something years old. These kids born in these big cities, they don't know what a cow and a hog is. Or chicken. I reckon you buy eggs in Walmart, right? But they come out of a chicken one day. Mary Helen can tell you about them chicken. She helped dress the chicken down in Paraguay. They cooked it that day, and eggs was on inside that chicken. It's interesting to see stuff like that. God made stuff, and it's interesting. I was down there, and I had my flip-flops on, and my toes were sticking out my flip-flops. Mary Helen said, you better watch your feet. That rooster's going to pick your toe off directly. Because he's looking at it. He thinks that's a big white worm he's looking at. That rooster's getting ready to pick your toe. If you ain't ever lived out in the woods before, you don't understand stuff. That rooster was hungry. And he said, I'm going to get that big fat boy's worm he got on his foot right there. I drawed my toes back into my shoe because I especially want that rooster to peck me. That would not have been felt too good. Then he shall speak to them in wrath and vex them in sore displeasure. God, when he gets mad, it's not funny. I have set my king upon the holy hill of Zion. He said, my king's in the church house. I will declare a decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. I know who my son is. Ask of me and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. I done seen things turn around in my life. The heathen had to do something for me. And the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. This is future stuff. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Okay. What's a rod of iron? I don't know exactly what it is. But I know it's rough. I like to hang around mechanic shops, both in the United States and in South America. I was in a mechanic shop down there, and I asked one of them redneck Paraguayan men in there, young man, what do you think a rod of iron is? He walked over there and he got him a piece of rebar. It's 2-inch rebar, 2-inch rebar heavy. And it's about 6 feet long. And they'd fashed the end of it for a pry bar. And he handed it to me, and it was all I could do to pick it up. He said, "That's pretty good wrought iron." I said, "Yeah, I got to feel like it is." Well, there's also a place in Paraguay, there's a lot of potters. And they're there running it, and they pump that thing with their feet, the vessel turns on that thing. But when that potter is cooked, and that vessel is cooked, wonder what happens if you drop that big old piece of 2-inch rebar on that pot. It'll bust it in pieces. But he said, "Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron." He's talking about the heathen. "And they'll dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." When we come back with Christ, and we are riding behind him on the white horse, I believe Christ is going to put things in order. And then he's going to turn us loose and said we will rule and reign with him. Exactly how we can do that, I don't know. Maybe some theologians know, but I don't think they do. But if we rule and reign with him and he got a rod of iron, we could have one too. And a smart-aleck heathen, he could get busted like a potter's vessel. That's mean. No, it's not, because he had his chance to be with us, but he chose not to. Now he's destined for a devil's hell. A rod of iron. "Be wise, therefore, all ye kings," talking about the rulers. "Be instructed, ye judges of the earth." Some of these fellows that sit in their little black robes, that's judges, couldn't even judge in a kangaroo coat. They know about as much about judging as my dog does. That's exactly right. Last time I was called for jury duty, the deputy told me, "Go in there and sit down in that spot where it kind of looks like a church." I said, "We could do some preaching in there today. Judge might do some preaching." I said, "I don't want the judge to preach. I want him to sit down and shut up. I want to preach." "So I don't know, believe you better do that." I said, "Well, from what I understand, I believe I do a better job than him." "I didn't care whether I liked it or not. Okay, I didn't get chosen to be on the jury, so that's good. I got to go home." "Be instructed, judges. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling." Do we respect the house of God and respect God anymore? For the most part, no. "Kiss the Son." Who's the Son? Jesus Christ. "Lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little." You ain't really got to make him real mad. Just a little bit. "Blessed are they that put their trust in him." That's us that have been saved and trust in the Lord. That's who that is. Psalm 2. Where is your allegiance? Is it to the government of this world? This country? State government? City government? County government? They was over there at the prayer room one morning on Friday, and they was talking about how bad things was in D.C. I said, "We ain't got to go to D.C. We can go right down to Stewart. There's plenty of crooks down there." "We ain't got to go to D.C. Guarantee you, what is it, Pennsylvania County? Is that the county we're in? I'd say there's plenty of crooks there." You know what else I'd say? Do they have city supervisor here or county administrator or whatever they got? I got a feeling they got plenty of crooks in there too. Local. We ain't got to go to D.C. We ain't got to go. There's plenty of crooks right here. Huh. Okay. Hebrews. Where is your allegiance? Hebrews chapter 11. I believe that's in this King James Bible too, pretty sure. Hebrews chapter 11. And we want to read 8 through 16. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Obedience. How many are called, but how many obey? I believe God is calling men, women, boys, and girls to do things. What is he called you to do? Well, I can't do nothing. As long as you got breath in you, there's something you can do. Them folks over there in that nursing home, that's all, I'm in a nursing home, I can't even get up. Oh yeah, there's something you can do. You can pray for them that are still walking. And those of us that are still walking can be an influence on somebody else. Obedience. Do we obey all the time? I'd like to say no, because I know I don't. And I'd like to say probably you don't either. There's something about this obedience thing. But Abraham, he went out, not knowing whether he went. I will say this. I've seen missionaries called. Some of them never did make it through deputation because the road got too rough. Some of them made it through a half a term and they come home. Where is your allegiance? We were talking about here a while ago. I'm not planning to go back and live in Paraguay. But if it gets bad enough in the United States, I would definitely seriously consider it. Because that place is always on my heart, whether I'm there or I'm not there. Where is your allegiance? God called me there. He also called me back here to train national pastors. And the finances for that never did come through some of these hard-headed preachers because it wasn't their idea. But God has provided. So I have been in two Bible institutes and I continue to train Florentino and that kind of stuff. I continue to do some of that. In spite of what some of the fellows did. He went out not knowing where he went. Oh, the first time that I flew out of this country and we landed in Lima, Peru, I didn't understand nothing. As far as the language, I was getting ready to get on the airplane and come back because that sorry rascal that's supposed to be there to meet me wasn't there. Finally, I talked to a guy that had some English. He helped me make a phone call. Oh, we forgot about you. Chris will be down there in an hour or so. You were supposed to be here when I got off the airplane. And you what? Things went south with that missionary and me from that very first day. He wanted to do this to me, and he found out he couldn't do that to me too good. There's all kind of stuff that goes on in the ministry. Sure does. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise as in a strange country. Y'all get off the airplane with me in Asunción, Paraguay. It's a strange country if you ain't never been there. It ain't so strange to me. I've been there. I've lived there. But those that ain't never been there, strange. Dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob and the heirs of the same promise. When you go somewhere like that, it's good to go with somebody that knows what they're doing. I like to think that I do now. And some of these fellows don't want to pay attention to me. There's one fellow went to Honduras with me. And he wanted to have some national cuisine. He wanted some for real Honduran food. Okay. We went in a food court. And this food court, he could have had Hardee's. He could have had KFC. He could have had American stuff. We knew what it was. But he said to me, I want me some of them sauces they got over there in that Honduran restaurant. I said, honey, I ain't eating them sauces because I don't know what they ground up in them. I said, they got a thing and they look kind of like a pork chop. I'll eat that. He had to have them sauces. Matter of fact, he ordered him a second order of them. I said, Fred, you better leave that stuff alone. Oh, that's good. I'm going to eat it. Well, Mary Helen and I and him was sharing a little apartment in a lady's house. The next morning, we didn't find Fred. I knocked on the door. I said, Fred, that's all right. How you all right? Not so good. I said, yeah. Well, he spent 3 days sitting on the throne. He was a king, all right. He eat them sausages. But that wasn't enough for him. We went to the grocery store one day. I'm going to buy these sausages. I said, you done been sick. You been eating sausage alone. Well, that morning he cooked breakfast. He put one on my plate. We was out there under a little porch or whatever you want to call it. There's an old cat out there laying out there. And I give that sausage to that cat. That cat looked at that sausage and rolled off like she was jet propelled. I said, Fred, if that scrawny looking hungry cat won't eat that sausage, I sure ain't gonna eat it. Look here, God didn't call me to be stupid. He didn't call me to be stupid now. If the cat don't eat it, I ain't eat it. We had another situation in Peru. We went out to this place. There wasn't no running water, probably within 50 miles of that place. Went out there in a taxi. That's where we went. And these old ladies, they had on these great big skirts, and they had pots out there they was cooking in. And that water come out that little old branch over there. And this missionary told me, he said, you got to eat some of this food, you go offend them people. I said, but instead of offending, I ain't eating. I walked out there to the taxi. And I asked that taxi driver, he wanted some of that food they had cooking over there. Man, you pray, that's what I'm kidding. You hear me? A Peruvian taxi driver ain't gonna eat it. David ain't either. No, I ain't gonna eat that. Anyway, strange country. Heirs with him of the same promise. We joined heirs with Christ, brethren in Christ. They're heirs to the same thing we are. And if somebody knows more about something than you do, you might ought to take heed to what they're saying. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of child when she was past age because he judged him faithful who promised. But back up a little bit. Sarah wasn't too smart in the beginning. She gave Abraham her handmaid. Guess what? Ishmael was born. Later on, Isaac was born. And them two nations has been fighting ever since. Mm-hmm. That's why we got all the turmoil in the Middle East. And that's why we got a whole lot of turmoil in the United States of America. Because we've let the sons of Ishmael take over. Now, I think we should try to win Muslims to the Lord. But I do not think that we need to let them take over and run our nation. In Hanahan, South Carolina, that's right out of Charleston, the mayor of Hanahan is a Muslim. How did that happen? Because we have some stupid Americans that would vote somebody in like that that's got piles of money, and now he runs the city. How smart is that? They ain't too smart. Therefore, praying even one and himself as good as dead, So many as the star of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is a sea shore innumerable. These all died in faith. This is before Christ. Having seen them afar off and were persuaded and embraced them, confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Who are we? We're strangers and pilgrims. This is not our home. This ain't our home, folks. I don't like what I see going on. I don't like it at all. I keep telling one fellow that he's all worried up about the state of our nation, the state of this, the state of that. I said, honey, we ain't home yet. Them sorry wrestlers can't do nothing but kill us. We ain't home yet. If they kill me, that'd do me a favor. I said, do what? I said, yeah, do me a favor. I'll be in glory. That's my home. That's where my citizenship is. It ain't here. It ain't here, folks. For they that say that same thing declare plainly, they seek a country. I'm looking for a country, folks, and it ain't this one. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might not. They might have had opportunity to have returned. We come from God, folks. But now they desire a better country. That is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. What kind of city he prepared for us? A new heaven and a new earth. All the junk that we have to put up with now is temporary. It's temporal. We were sitting in that meeting yesterday. I looked down, I said, who's the youngest man in here? I looked back there and I seen one. I figured with this young, he's 23. The one next to him is also 23. And Ralph Hall was sitting there. I said, I know Ralph's 78. I said, Ralph, I believe you about the oldest fella in here. I said, but I'm going to tell you something. You lot outlived them young ones back then. Just because we got age on us does not mean we on the next boat out of here. No, we don't mean that. But I'm going to tell you something. We better start being examples, because the book says the older men and the young and the older women are to teach the younger ones. But you know what we got? We got grandmas, 60, 70 years old, walking around in their little cheeky peak shorts with their hair green or purple, got earrings everywhere. I ain't talking about this in the air. Everywhere, piercing, body piercing. We talk about old folks. We ain't talking about young ones. I go to Walmart and Stewart all the time and see women I know older than me walking around with purple hair, green, orange, all this kind of stuff. What kind of stuff is that? What kind of example does that set for the young people? And now we could do this thing called manifest. Oh, yeah, we could do manifest and throw in the rock music and the rap music, and it's Christian. How Christian is that? Bill, I know you're going to wake up one day. 1 Peter, and we'll be done. 1 Peter. It's in the book. First Peter chapter 2, 1 through 12. I'll read this quickly and we'll be done. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire a sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming is of a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but the chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, build up spiritual house and a priesthood unto offer spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and that believeth on him should not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe is precious, but unto them which disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. They rejected Christ, but he's going to be the head. The stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they are were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. We are peculiar. That ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous life, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which ye have obtained mercy, but now have which have not obtained mercy, but now ye have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I speak to you as strangers and pilgrims. Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, and whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Honey, we are strangers and pilgrims. Where is your citizenship? Are you so caught up in this world that that's the only hope you have? That is most miserable. Because this world is not our home. Bill, I pray for us.
Amen.